Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we bring you an episode of our special holiday musical, The Innkeeper's Wife.
I must say, for a corner near the hearth in an overcrowded inn in a town I'd never planned to visit, this is surprisingly comfortable.
You should try the stable. I hear it's practically a palace.
Ah, the famous wit of Bethlehem. They warned me about it in Alexandria.
They talk about us in Alexandria?
They talk about everyone in Alexandria. It's a city of merchants and scholars. Talking is what we do. Actually, I had an interesting conversation there, just before I left, with a rabbi at the Great Synagogue. He was agitated about something.
Rabbis are often agitated. It's part of the job.
No, this was different. He kept talking about signs, alignments, the right time approaching. He said the Messiah was coming, soon.
People have been saying that for generations.
Yes, but this rabbi, he had a whole system worked out. Something about Daniel's prophecy, the 70 weeks. He'd calculated it down to the year.
Men have been calculating the end of days since the days began. They're always wrong.
Are they? Wrong about the timing, perhaps? Wrong about the details? But the hope itself, the promise that's not wrong, that's as old as Eden.
What do you mean?
When the serpent deceived Eve, when everything fell apart in that garden, what did the Lord say? He said the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Right there, in the middle of the curse, he planted a promise. Every generation since has been waiting for that seed, that deliverer.
You know your Torah, old mother.
I should hope so. I've had 73 years to study it.
My husband used to talk about the Messiah before he passed. He believed it would happen in our lifetime.
Many believe that.
But he had reasons. He said the prophets gave us markers, signs to watch for.
What kind of signs?
I don't remember all of them, but I remember he talked about Bethlehem.
Our little town of Bethlehem.
Yes, of course.
And good lady who seems to know so much, why do you say of course?
Simon, there you are. I've been looking for you. We need to patch the hole in the upper room. It's going to be cold tonight.
One moment, Leah. This is fascinating.
Micah, the prophet Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This little town, this insignificant village that the great cities overlook. The prophet said the Messiah would come from here.
I must confess that I don't believe I've ever even heard of the prophet Micah.
A shepherd's son from Judah's fields, with dust still clinging to his feet. Micah rose where injustice reigned and cried God's truth in every street. He saw the mighty twist the law. He heard the poor man silent ache and thundered forth a holy plea. Let justice roll for Zion's sake. Yet in his fire there shimmered hope, a promise whispered clear and bright, that out of little Bethlehem would rise the everlasting light. A prophet stern, a poet bold, he spoke of judgment, mercy, birth. Micah, the watchman of God's heart, who dreamed of peace upon the earth.
I've lived here my whole life. I've never seen anything that looked like a Messiah.
Would you know one if you saw him?
Wait, help me understand this. In Alexandria, we have Jews from everywhere, scholars, merchants, travelers. I've heard bits and pieces over the years, but I've never gotten the full picture. Who exactly is this Messiah supposed to be?
That depends on who you ask.
The priests say one thing, the zealots say another.
My husband said he would be a king, a son of David who would restore the kingdom.
My father said he would be a conqueror, someone who would drive out the Romans and give us back our land.
And Isaiah said many things that don't quite fit together. if you only look at them one way.
Such as?
He said the Messiah would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that the government would be on his shoulders, that of the increase of his peace there would be no end. But he also said the servant of the Lord would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, that he would be wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities.
That doesn't sound like a conquering king.
No, it doesn't.
How can he be both, a mighty ruler and a suffering servant?
That, daughter, is the question our people have been asking for 700 years.
Maybe we've been asking it wrong. Maybe it's not either or. Maybe it's both, at different times, in different ways.
You mean he comes twice?
I don't know what I mean. I'm an innkeeper's wife, not a rabbi. But I think about the stories. Joseph, sold into slavery before he became a ruler. David, hunted like an animal before he wore the crown. Moses, a fugitive in the desert before he led a nation. What if the pattern holds? What if the Messiah has to suffer before he reigns?
The Lord has given you a thinking mind, daughter.
I've been married to you for more than 20 years. I didn't know you thought about these things.
There's a lot of time for thinking when you're washing dishes at midnight.
Dwell, we are waiting.
To be continued.